If you could describe radical acceptance and self-care in one word, phrase, or mantra, what would it be?
Radical acceptance is remembering, believing in that there's nothing wrong with me. I'm perfect, and I always have been. Maybe I can be perceived by people about how I am, but that doesn't mean it's the truth. So just holding the truth within yourself, letting yourself be your own compass, and knowing that you are perfect, you are already enough.
Welcome, queer kittens and new earballs. I'm V, a two-spirit human, joy influencer, energy worker, and dad joke connoisseur. All pronouns accepted. This podcast started because we just want Cutie BIPOC to be well, to feel seen, and to be heard. So let this be your queer compass guiding you towards radical acceptance. And wherever you are in your wellness journey, just know you're not alone. We hope this podcast brings you joy where you'll learn, laugh, heal, and grow. On this episode, we're going to highlight tenderness. How we as Cutie BIPOC are taught to shove that shit down. Tenderness and vulnerability, they're weakness. I'm just kidding. No, they're not. But we're taught we need to rid those things in order to remain strong. And we're going to have a lovely guest, Alexis Benefield, who her work definitely helps heal that. Also just opens that up for those spaces to be able to be tender, to be vulnerable. And she's a really good friend of mine for over 10 years. You're going to absolutely love her. And with these events that she throws, literally a portal opener, healing feminine energy. And we did discuss one of her events in episode 24 with Halo discussing black sex magic. So if you want to know a little bit more about that, go back and listen to that episode. But for now, stay here and hear more about Alexis Benefield and how she's fighting against code switching and creating these spaces where Cutie BIPOC, we don't need a code switch. And for y'all that don't know what code switching is, it's when Cutie BIPOC people have to basically filter what we say and how we say it. Because if we come to a conversation and we don't per se sound quote unquote educated enough, then immediately we're not respected in that space. So by code switching is we have to present ourselves a different way, filter ourselves a different way so that we are received in a respectful way. That is something that gets to be shut off at these events. And a huge thing that's come up for me in one of the events is a mother wound. So you'll get to hear a little bit about that. And as I dive deeper in the mother wound, it gets deep, y'all. I'm doing my own research. I'm still learning about it. I'm not an expert, but it makes me sit back and tell myself, I am enough. I am worthy. Let me turn your back to our guest so you can hear the lovely words that she has to say. Also, if you haven't seen already, you need to go check it out. We got her poetry on the Instagram. So without further ado, here's Alexis.
I am Alexis Benefield. My pronouns are she, her. I'm a Black and Filipino Bay Area native, queer femme, and multidisciplinary artist and community organizer and designer. With an Aquarius sun and a tender, loving Pisces Venus, I believe that we are all perfectly and uniquely made beings, finding our way back home to ourselves.
Thank you for that. Me and Alexis have known each other for over 10 years, and we met in the queer scene here in the Bay Area, and we've been friends ever since. And we always talk about some like really, really like deep stuff throughout many of years, but now it seems that our work is aligning. I would really love if you have the capacity, and I'm sure you do, but I don't want to volunteer you to, but would you mind letting people know about your work that you do, about your events you throw?
I'll start with SIS. It's an acronym for Solidarity and Sisterhood. It is a BIWOC, or Black Indigenous Women of Color Liberation and Healing Circle, that I do and that I facilitate monthly with a small group. That is a 4-hour circle where we go in and we hold and we cry and we heal and we empower ourselves. And also monthly, we do SIS walk, so Solidarity and Sisterhood walk. So it's a nature walk for Black Indigenous women of color to not only take up space in nature, a space that we as Black and Brown folks have historically been pushed out of, but also to be in nature as a large group with a purpose. And the purpose is to heal together. And we decided on a walk too, because for some folks, it's easier to kind of express when we're also doing an activity. And the other project that I have is Tender. Tender is a BIPOC artist showcase for BIPOC creatives in the Bay Area. It is a very intimate and small showcase for artists, creatives, performers, poets to perform and work in a space that is centered around them. And so when I mean centered around them, I mean they have control of their sets. They have control of the media that they want to show. They have more control of the money that they're receiving. They have more control of the audience, and all overhead cost, or all overhead income goes to them, goes to the artist. And that I do, I've done 3 so far, and it's something that I would like to be at least 3 times a year or so.
That's amazing. And I've had the pleasure of going to Tender, but I'm not sure if I'm welcome at SIS. Are only femmes allowed at SIS?
As SIS, we decided that we wanted to leave it up to the participants, right? So using words like SIS or sister or women of color is fundamental or foundational within SIS. So it feels like it's broken down in 2 pieces. Is being called SIS or sister or a woman something that you feel comfortable with? And if so, then you are welcome to come. And then there is another portion. If members of SIS or folks that come to SIS talk about SIS, they may be using those words as well, sister, SIS, and woman. And so those words might be used to represent you as someone that has participated. And so if you're okay with that, both of those things, then I say yes. Anyone and yourself are invited to join us.
Woohoo! Okay, so awesome. I would love to take a hike with y'all.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I love that, and I can't wait for you to come.
What brought y'all to the point of calling it SIS?
I knew that I wanted it to be an acronym, and I also knew that I wanted to include sisterhood, us as a group, and kind of like what empowers us. And I think solidarity within ourselves empowered us. And then I love that the acronym was SIS. It felt very just on brand with what I was going with. I love that we would just be calling each other SIS and also be connecting through the word and also be saying the name of the group. And I had some reservations around that because as a Black woman, I didn't necessarily feel comfortable with SIS. No one had called me SIS in my community. I didn't know if I was Black enough to call Black women SIS. And so this kind of felt like a reclaiming of that. I don't need to be more of anything. The word is also mine, so, and ours.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you for that honesty. It's not a hard thing to unpack and to unearth.
To unearth. That's what it's about, right?
What's your process that you go through when you pick these artists at your showcase for Tender?
The first round, it was my friends.
So friends that I knew and were artists, and I wanted to showcase or at least collaborate with. And so Tender grew from there. There was a poet, Jess Simon, Jonathan Borka, and Eddie Mosca. So a rapper / spoken word, and then a poet and a photographer. And then myself, I was doing my painting on acrylic. And so I wasn't sure that Tender was going to be more than just the first show. And so it felt very kind of very small and intimate because I had invited my friends and they invited the audience, which was their friends. And so it felt very, very sweet. For the second one, I wanted something different because I wanted to cast out the net. I wanted to be creating community and not just keeping it within the communities that were already surrounding me. And so my process was I made a flyer, and then I made a kind of like Google Doc application, and I posted the flyer, asked my friends from the previous Tender to repost it, and added the Google application link to my bio. Because I cast out like such a wide net for the types of artists, my narrowing down really had to do with what types of artists will go well together, and do they more or less represent the softness or the intimacy of the show. And then there were a few other things. There are like long sentence answer questions in the application, and I was trying to be moved. So I was wanting to feel their want to be in the space. And so that was a big pull, like a big emotional pull for me. And then my last kind of filter, I really wanted to feel like we're like co-creating, collaborating. So I wanted to feel the excitement. And my third process was, luckily, because people were adding their Instagram handles or their website, I could see what their work looked like or what their following was, because I really didn't want to have only people with a big following or only people with that have never showed before. I wanted a balance. And so that one felt very important to me too, because this I wanted to make sure that it felt like the majority of the artists either haven't had a stage before or haven't had a lot of experience on the stage.
And I think you did an amazing job doing that. Just being there, like the way that everyone was so like interwoven, like everyone was very different, but I felt like there was a healing aspect that was very like prominent that came out of that, because we did go to the first one and we went to the second one, and we definitely saw there is a certain vibe that you carried in both of them, but they were both very different. And that second one was just like, oh my, I cannot even tell you how many times I cried. Like, I know it was a showcase to, you know, highlight these artists, but I felt like it was also an offering from all of these artists, and like the way that they blessed all of us with their art. And I felt like it was a collective healing. And I don't know if that was like your intention, or did you have the intention of Tender creating an environment like that?
Yes, I agree. So I agree. That space is such a portal, especially the last one, because we were in that room and it was just purple, the lights. Like it felt like a different reality, and energetically and visibly and auditorily, definitely. So Tender, even the word Tender, I knew I wanted it to be so intentional and just kind of like, not necessarily a home, but like a, you can fall into it. And I didn't realize how much my intense intentionality would be like held so well until the end of the first Tender, right? So I was very intentional about every little piece, how the flowers went, how the artists met in the beginning, that we had a group meet. We did a grounding exercise in the beginning. We all talked. We were already crying in the beginning. I kind of asked myself, like, how did all of this sweetness arrive? Like, how was it created? And the reflection I came to was that that's what I was asking for. That's how I was treating the artists. That's how the artists received me. That's how the artist expressed to the audience, and that's how the audience acted. Nobody's taking out their phones to record. Nobody is really drinking. Everybody stays quiet. We're all so there. So yeah, and it's everything I'd ever wanted and more than I could have imagined, just the energy that we create together in that space.
Definitely. It was such a unique experience. All of us were sitting on the floor on like these big cushions, and we were forced to like be in close quarters. And fortunately, I met like a whole bunch of different people just around who we were sitting around, just like really like all like feeling what the artists were putting out. Like it was so beautiful. And I came to a thought and I was like wondering, I was like, what in the world led you to even start something so impactful and so beautiful like Tender and Sis?
I would say this began post 2020. So post George Floyd's murder. It felt like the distance between myself or who I was and who my people are, like BIPOC folks versus white people. And I think that feeling that distance made me question the communities that I hold myself in, that I surround myself in. I grew up in a like very white, Marin, affluent area, I moved there. And post 2020, I just said to myself, oh, this is so horrible. I'm like, there's a lot of white people around me and I'm not white. And can they really support me the way that I need when I have to explain so much to them in order for them to understand me? I wanted more BIPOC people around me. Like I wanted to be around people that I aligned with. And I didn't realize that that was something important to me. I honestly didn't realize like the word or the feeling of community was important until after the creation of Sis and Tender. So I knew that I wanted a space for women of color, that I wanted to be in a space with women of color, because I thought to myself, if all of us are in this space together, women of color, BIPOC, Black, Indigenous women are not a monolith, right? But if we go to this space together, then that kind of label of us kind of gets to like sit back a little bit and we get to be more, we get to be the other things in this space. And so I really wanted to find those other things. I wanted to learn who I was through my people. And that's Sis. And Tender would be a similar thing, but a different avenue for myself. I wanted to be around creatives, and I also wanted to be around people in the city that I lived in. I wanted to walk down the street and see people that I know and talk to them. And that's not something that I had. And I wanted community. And I knew I wasn't the only one. And so I knew that we could forge it. We could forge it together.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. I can resonate with it so heavily, you know, not being in a group of people where you had to code switch, where you could just exist in who you were, not having to make sure that you're understood by everyone around because everyone's going to get it. And which brings me to like an experience at a coffee shop I just recently had, telling this young queer woman who was Filipino behind she was the barista, and I was letting her know about this podcast, and she was like, oh my God, this would be amazing, because she was like, and she brought me in close and she was like, I want a wellness podcast because white people just worry about different shit. And I was like, precisely, exactly.
Why?
So this project here on this podcast definitely aligns with what you're talking about too, because like finding that community is so important, and having these kinds of conversations that I feel like become a little taboo because like we're taught in our communities or in our families, like usually like, oh, like don't talk about that. And I really want to know, like, since starting Sis and Tender, like, has there been any change and healing for you since creating these two things?
Absolutely. yes, absolutely. Oh, I think it's So much so that I think it's hard to like differentiate it all. Differentiate the ways that I've healed and grown through Tender and cis and just as a person. But I would say that like the biggest thing is, as someone also having learned through my conditioning to be hyper independent and not need anybody, I've found that I need community. I need it. I can't go without it. And that's where we heal. We heal in community, not in isolation, right? I think that would be the biggest one. And that's opened up so much for me, having deep and important conversations with people that aren't only your romantic partner. There is deep communal and platonic love, but that is just as important, if not more, than romantic. So those are, I think, the big takeaways for me.
Absolutely. And that makes me think about like when we were putting this episode together and what I was putting things together, and there was a moment where I was thinking about what you do and thinking about my own experience of what I receive through what you do. And it brought me to like a thought, like I yelled it out loud randomly, and I was like, oh, I was like, sisterhood heals the mother wound. I'll let you sit with that for a moment, because not everybody knows what a mother wound is. And I'll say a little short thing is basically like the pain being passed from mother to child, and the culture of women being oppressed, I guess, is the best way is like I can explain what the mother wound is. And I think that from my experience, from a particular event of yours that was private, which was your birthday, I think Tender opened up the wound, and then like your birthday tore it open, like made it raw, made that wound like existent, but in also a very like healing way. And I don't know if you realize like how collaborative and how vulnerable your birthday became as a whole, as everyone that was there. And it really brought me to wanting to ask you, like, what were your intentions behind celebrating your birthday this way? But before you answer that question, can you explain what it was that happened at your birthday?
Yes, absolutely. Without explaining the intention, explain the thing. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So like explain, I think maybe just what you let us know. You're like, okay, this is going to be a performance. Or I can explain it. I'll explain it from my side. It was called Rhythm 33. And we were told it was going to be a live performance, and that there was going to be a table of activities that we were to participate with the birthday girl, that being you, and that everyone that was selected, there was a purpose why you selected all of us. And on this table were things from BDSM to cake to rubber bands to ice to, like, there were just so many random things on this. And so basically, like, I have never experienced a birthday party like this, but it is a birthday party that I will never forget. And I really want to know what your intentions were, what even like brought you to the creation of that, of like, okay, I'm gonna let my friends choose one thing on that table and have an activity with me for 5 minutes each in front of everyone.
Yeah. I am so grateful for your description, because I can only... I know the whole story, right? And so I don't know the perspective of a person that doesn't know the whole story. And now I'm hearing what it is. And it's like, not crazy.
You know what I mean? I mean, but I was open to it.
Yeah, you're like, I'll go though. Yeah, so Rhythm 33 was a performance piece that was modeled after performance artist Marina Abramovic's piece, Rhythm Zero. And I just changed it to 33 because I turned 33. But she placed 72 objects on a table, which ranged from a loaded gun to a knife, a feather, a rose. And she just got to, and this was to the public. It was not a private event. And it was very interesting to me how the public responded and reacted when they were given consent and consent to a person that would not react. I just felt very, very vulnerable. And I just felt grateful for that piece and how it highlighted parts of the human experience that we don't usually let come out of the dark and into the public. Tying that back to me and my birthday, my heart is heavy. I'm going through a lot. My birthday was in February. This is one of the hardest points in my life. I've been really hard to deal with. And I have community that loves me so deeply. But I found myself feeling like I wasn't being cared for in the ways that I needed. And it became clear to me that it isn't a lack of them trying. It was that I haven't taught them how to love me and care for me in the ways that I need, because I keep this like very stoic and stern facade. And to be honest, I don't know even how to show them. I didn't know. And so that's what this was. I wanted y'all to see me just as raw as possible. And I wanted y'all to hold me and watch it happen and be a part of it. And y'all fucking held me. And that felt like a lot to ask, honestly. It felt intense emotionally, but what ended up happening was beyond that. Yeah. It was spiritual. I feel energetically connected to everyone still. We moved shit. We changed big things, which was not exactly sure what yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And as your friend of 10 plus years, it was the first time I have ever seen you cry. It was also very new for me. And in particularly, there was a moment where another friend of ours was, I'm assuming, yelling at you in Tagalog. I don't understand the language, but I felt like I knew what it was. Like, I felt like it was a mother yelling at a child. And I was just like bawling my eyes out and then watching you just cry with your entire body. And I have never seen you cry before. Was such a powerful moment. And I feel like, as you said, like it connected all of us in such a different way. And it was just, I can't even find the words of how beautiful, empowering, and how connecting that was. And also how hard it was to see you whole bodily cry like that. And for us to just be sitting all around watching as this performance is happening live in front of us and not being able to, I feel like we all like held you in our energetic way that we could while respecting the performance. But it was very raw. And what came up for me was honestly like my own mother wound. And it made me almost humanize my mother's experience. And I was seeing my mother and her experience with her mother. And it brought a certain healing to me of being able to like remove my mother from the mother role and whatever it is that she may or may not have provided for me, and put me into like a place of seeing my mother was a child that didn't receive what she needed. And I felt that through this piece. And I didn't share it with you yet because I wanted it to be here and let you know about this gift that you provided to me on your birthday. But I was curious how this whole process unfolded for you and what came up for you.
I'm like, I'm shaking right now. It's like still so, yeah, it's like still so alive. What I think is an incredible missing piece is that I asked that friend very frankly. And not only that, but I asked her at 3 o'clock that day. So I had asked her. So she somehow, her Virgo ass somehow made it work and came out with that. I had no idea it was going to be that. And it was not specific to me. That was, that I feel like is the creepy thing. I felt so held by the group. I did not feel alone at all. I heard other people crying. I could feel them crying. And I could feel that, like, what they were releasing too, because, like, I guess just to say, it wasn't specific to me. I think that just goes to show, like, how much we all just related on something, even if it didn't, that exact dynamic wasn't ours. It was just the feeling. I'm grateful to hear it, truly. I don't think that's exactly what you were saying, but it's like we are always who we are and the child version of us. All our versions are alive, always, right? And so even though we witnessed the same performance, we can all connect to it in different ways.
That brings me to, like, thinking about, I was watching this documentary called, like, the Zeitgeist documentary or something, and there was a doctor that talked about just how the experience our mothers have while we're in the womb, we absorb that. We absorb that, those experiences, we absorb that stress, and we become, like, more susceptible when we're out in the life. And it just made me think about just my own mother and whatever she experienced, almost travel in that moment, like time travel in that moment. Yeah, it's hard to explain, right? That power in it, and that beauty in it. And I just wanted to be able to, like, really thank you for that and ground in gratitude. And because it was a very... I wish that I could just explain it in the words that I can't explain it, but you're right. I think that I'm trying to tie this all together in the terms of, like, past experiences are passed through the wombs, which are almost existent within us. And to see something like that in front of me was like I was reliving something that my mother experienced and perhaps was thinking about while I was in the womb, and then it passed into me. Not too sure how this all works, but that's where I was tying it all together, and I just wanted to take that moment and ground us in gratitude and also share that with you.
Thank you. I think about how, for those of us that have eggs, we're born with our egg. Is it almost like three generations can be in one body? Your mother can hold a baby that has eggs, and those eggs are already there. So, just to speak to what you were saying, it's like, it's no wonder it can be passed. It's direct. Like, at that one point, we're all touching, sharing, like, the same blood.
It's incredible. Yeah. I never thought of that.
I mean, I'm not a scientist, so I don't.
But it makes sense. It definitely makes sense. So I will turn this onto you, on what you do know, and you do know what makes you feel better. And I wanted to ask you if you have any specific, like, routines or resources or tools that, like, you found helpful along, like, your wellness journey.
I would say that because community has been kind of the theme of my journey so far, what I feel like has connected me more than anything is curiosity within, like, an interpersonal or communal space. In the past, I assumed that no one wants to take the time to get to know me. Nobody wants to, like, unearth me or help me unearth. And so what I try to do is not make assumptions. I want to learn more. Like, I want you to tell me I'm wrong and fix it so that I have the truth. Like, I want you to change my mind. I trust my people that I trust and love to change my mind. Let's figure it out together. Let's unearth it all. Like, let's change our mind one day and go back, who cares, you know? But I feel like what routine or what has helped me the most is kind of building, I guess, like communicative trust and playing, kind of like playing in areas that feel scary, like being vulnerable.
Thank you for that. And I'm going to wrap this all up and ask you a last question. If you could describe radical acceptance and self-care in one word, phrase, or mantra, what would it be?
Yes. Okay. So this is a quote by Nikki Giovanni. In the quote, she says, I wanted to change it to you, because it's like, I don't want to, it's not me, right? Okay, so it goes, I am so perfect, so divine, so ethereal, so surreal, I cannot be comprehended except by my permission. And for me, I think that radical acceptance is remembering, believing in that there's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm perfect, and I always have been, right? And maybe I can be perceived by people about how I am, but that doesn't mean it's the truth. So just holding the truth within yourself, letting yourself be your own compass, and knowing that you are perfect, you are already enough.
Yes, I love that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that. And my heart, I'm like rubbing my heart right now. Like, yeah, that's right. I am enough.
Yeah.
And you are enough. So thank you for that. If you are wanting to, can people reach out to you? And if so, how can they find you?
Yes, you can reach out to me through, it is Alexis Ben, AlexisBen. There's also Tender. You can reach out to Tender at Tender_BIPOC Showcase. And also Sis at Solidarity and Sisterhood.
And you can find all of these social handles in the show notes. Do you have any other shout outs that you want to give while you have the air?
I want to shout out to my girls. So I'm going to shout out to Sis, Jamie, Nick, and E, my baby. I love you.
And I love you ladies too. Thank you again for being here. It was such a blessing, and to dive deep and get to know each other a little bit more, and also to have the accessibility for people to know about your work, know about you, unearth you in this episode.
Thank you, V, and thank you to the Quest crew. Y'all are really just, y'all are documenting the times, and that is irreplaceable. So I'm so grateful to y'all, and I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you.
We have so much more to explore and share with you on the pod. Tap that follow or subscribe button to get every episode as soon as it's released. And give us a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And join our wellness community on Instagram at Quest Wellness Pod. This podcast was produced by Puka Puka Creative. Executive producer, Stevie Kwa. Producer, editor, and sound designer, Leah Jackson. Associate producer, Rafaela Landestoy. Original music produced by Basque. His music is amazing. And we can't forget the emotional support by our fur babies, Frankie, Nugget, and Pukalani. I went off script a bunch of times. I'm sorry.
It's like turning. I know. I'm like, wow, I don't think I read any of my notes except for that quote.
That's the beauty of it. Yeah, I did so much research and did none of it.